Welcome to the Fathers of the Future podcast. I'm joined today by a friend of mine and former client at the CrossFit Scottsdale, established back in 2008, Billy Ayton. Billy, this is going to be a unique episode and experience for us and for anyone who listens to this now and for as long as this podcast is alive forever, because you are in a transitional period in your life. You've gotten news that you have cancer and that they gave you an end time for this wicked disease. And it's fairly fresh, this diagnosis, in the past couple weeks. And so I just wanted to take a moment before we get going and rolling and really interviewing you and hearing your voice, your story, your words, not just for now, but for the future and for your legacy, to let you know I appreciate you as a longtime friend and, more importantly, as somebody who is a warrior. And that's why we put you in front of the warrior background, the 300 background, because you're going through something that every one of us will go through one day, but you're going through it uniquely and different than any of us ever will. And so your time is limited, and I know how valuable it is. And from the bottom of my heart and the depth of my soul, I truly appreciate you for being here today.
I'm glad you're giving me the opportunity, because if you got to know me outside of CrossFit, something that you'd know about me, that I was the kid that went out there and volunteered for coaching and did a lot of things outside of the tent world and the CrossFit world, such as taking mentoring youth out hunting and stuff like that. It's part of giving and giving back. If I could help somebody by my story, just one person, I think it's all worth it.
You've got an impeccable story and history. You mentioned the tent world. That's been your profession and in the industry for how long now?
40 years. Yeah, 40 years.
Wow.
It's a long time.
It's a long time, and we'll get into that piece. Catch us up to speed with what your holidays and New Year's has been like, because it's been pretty heavy and hard to hear this news and really move forward with your life while you're living in here. But you've had an amazing positive perspective. Your positive mental attitude has been refreshing once I got the news. Let's hear what these last few months have been like and ultimately what you're doing right now and how you're responding to this.
You know, it's kind of like, be careful what you say. As I got a ticket to the World Series, and I'm going to the World Series, this is, you know, in November. It's like I made the joke, I must be dying. Here I am getting to go watch the Diamondbacks in a World Series game, and I didn't ever think I'd have that opportunity. And here I am going. It wasn't a few weeks later after that, I headed out and got to do something with my son that I always wanted to do and go hunting with my son. I've done a lot of youth hunting with him, but I never got to hunt with him. It was always his tag and me showing him how and him needing me there. So we got to go out to hunt, and he got to sit back from a perspective and watch him do it on his own. And we were having such a great time, but he knew and I knew that things weren't right with me. And I actually quit the hunt. And if you knew me, I show up and I don't quit. But I wasn't quitting that day. I was backing off so I could have another day. And that's exactly, I actually put a post in my Facebook talking about this. So look, this isn't my last hunt. We'll get a chance to do it again. Not knowing what was coming again. And because I was in a hospital and just got out of the hospital and went straight hunting. That's the type of person I am. I'm just going to ignore the pain, bite it, and just fought through the pain just because I wanted to be able to have my son to have this experience. And he shot, he missed, so at least he got a chance. We went home, and then the same thing happened a couple weeks later. We went after that. Why is it still doing it? So they looked for the last possible reason.
And what was it? Just you weren't feeling good? You
didn't No, have I was energy. Having a sedatives attack, and that's where your veins in your body blow up and you start throwing up blood and having come out pooping blood. Not best words for it, but yeah, it was coming out both ends. So that gets you in the hospital pretty quick. It shut down on its own, so they didn't know where the blood had come from. So they sent me home, and 2 weeks later, they went ahead and adjusted for opening to give myself less pressure just in case. Pressures were showing fine, So they went after it and said, why are we getting pressure? So they found the cancer in my liver, which was causing a bulge inside of there, pushing, basically closing off the vein that allows the blood, causing the backup pressure that caused the blowout. And that's when they told me I had cancer. And they hadn't told me what type of cancer. This was exactly 1 month ago today that it happened. All I know is they kept walking in and saying, you got cancer. We're going to tell you more about it as soon as we know more about it. They're basically waiting for the oncologist to talk to me. So
where did that send you mentally and emotionally just 30 days ago?
It was overwhelming for my wife. And seeing that pain in her eyes and her, all that was just, it took me away from my problem. I wasn't worried about me. I was worried about her at the time because she was sitting there in pain and couldn't handle what was just said. The cancer word's been said. We had no idea the 3 months was coming the next day. But she was also told that I may not survive the surgery that they had to do in order to try to make sure that we can get me 3 months, because I'm going to keep blowing out if we don't strengthen those walls. So what they did is they went and shoved another shunt in me, stented it down, made it thicker so I don't have to worry about the pressure from the cancer closing off my valve, allowing my blood to flow, and hopefully giving my chance for the liver to start regenerating a little bit, because it was hurting because of that too. So it was dying off fast because it wasn't getting the full blood flow.
That's you had the surgery?
Yes. And so that next morning I woke up, survived the surgery. The oncologist comes in, and that's when he gave me the news I had 3 months left to live. That was the very next day. So as we come up tomorrow, I'm down to 2 months, according to the doctor. Now, how I'm feeling, a little better since I've taken my first treatment. Now, we took a treatment as of Tuesday, my first immunotherapies. They're supposed to bring down, address swelling and stuff like that, and maybe give me a chance to get my liver to heal up a little bit. They're not even addressing anything else in the cancer itself. They say, here's your painkillers, and we'll see you next month, and we'll see how this goes. Now, this immunotherapy comes with a risk. It could also kill me. So if I start having autoimmune disease, they're gonna have to cut me off, and then I'm without treatment whatsoever. So I do look into alternative treatments outside, stuff like that. A lot of it costs a lot of money. Money that I wasn't prepared to bring. Insurance is not going to cover me out of state or out of country. The options of trying these experimental things on a what if, those come to mind because you want to fight. But you're also understanding that you know where your liver's at. And regardless of whatever happens, I still need that liver transplant. And that's a long line. I mean, a really long line. And I'm not giving up hope because someday you could just be the right person at the right time. We got that liver. Dude's out of town, Billy. And that could happen. But before I ever get to that, we got to get the cancers under control or they'll never consider me for a transplant.
Can we go back to that day in that meeting when the doctor walked in after the surgery? I don't know if you were sedated or coming out of it and what you remember, but there have been books written and movies produced of a man who finds out he has cancer and 3 months to live. And so I'm questioning how it hit you and where you went. Did you see your life flash in multiple thousands of pictures? Did you not hear him correctly? Where did your brain and body and emotions of yourself go once that doctor told you that?
I literally said, what the fuck? I said, you said 3 months, correct? And he says, yes, 3 months. I said, that's not a lot of time. He goes, no, it's not. I said, what's the options? I never thought about flashing. I just went into attack mode. How do we fight this? How do we stop this? What can I do? Because 3 months doesn't sound right to me. I didn't feel like I'm dying in 3 months. I thought I had gallbladder pain. Turns out it's not gallbladder pain. It's the cancer that was causing the pain. Because they misdiagnosed me up at the one place that said you had a gallbladder attack. That's why you're hurting right now. It wasn't. That was from the pressure about ready to blow up in my stomach, but we didn't know that at the time. So we get to that point and it's just a fight. And then you realize you start reading and you start checking it out. And there's dog dewormer. You start looking into oh, okay, acorn seeds are going to give me some cyanide. You know, will my body be able to process the cyanide and get rid of it fast enough with the little bit of liver I had? As you understand, you start paying attention to the chemical part of the body, and it's all chemical, and especially if you're the person that doesn't trust Big Pharma in the first place because you what your experiences are. You think, as you see them running tests and tests and tests on you, which a lot of times it's just about that money. And so I watched my wife come off of hardcore pain medicine pills, making her crazy because the marijuana came legal, and I was able to start getting her some of the oils and stuff like that. She's not taking painkillers no more. Now, why would Big Pharma want to do that? They just lost a patient. So they're not paid. She's not going to pain management anymore at all. That's working for her. It's really great. I try it with myself, and I got lung cancer, so I can't try anything lung-wise at all for sure. I can't eat much, so taking stuff in, and it seems like they're all sweets that they offer, sugars, gummies, and stuff like that to make them easy to eat. So trying to transverse your way through, trying to, and everyone says RSO, RSO, RSO. It's like, show me the thousands of people that have been cured by RSO or the acorn seeds or the dog dewormer, not just the one guy. How do we know God didn't have an intervention there? How do we know God said, it's not your turn? You showed me what I needed to see. Get back out there and do what you need to do. And that's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping God says, hey, he's a warrior. We need him here more than we do there. Mm. Or the way the world's getting nowadays, it's getting pretty weird. Maybe he needs me up there to be the warrior to come down and help beat the wicked down here.
How has your faith grown and expanded in these past 30 days? And
I don't want to be that atheist in a foxhole, that's for sure. So I've always kept my communications with God open. I don't want to be that guy at the last minute going, hey, we see Armageddon coming, and say, forgive me, that's not the person I wanted to be. So I thought I would do it in something in Acts. It says to do it through love. Stop doing things like curing people and stuff like that because it's just, it looks like you're a sideshow. And in churches and stuff like that, they seem like they're sideshows to me. So I stopped going to the churches and just kept my relationship with God. God and country, you hear me out there in the outdoors. I see God out there. I see it happening. When life is cruel, you sitting there watching, wow, did that coyote just grab that rabbit by the head and crush its head? Now it's going to go back and feed its family. Meanwhile, the family back here don't have a rabbit no more coming back home, but that's life. Being that naturalist has been able to help me absorb a lot of what's going on with me, because life, it's not guaranteed. There's no guarantees in life. You got your start and end date on your headstone. Then there's that dash in the middle. That's you, not your date or your end. It's the dash in between and how you live that life. So I tried to live it the best I could. I didn't steal, I didn't cheat, I didn't take from anybody. I tried to give where I knew where I could give that helped without hurting. I didn't want to enable anybody, so you probably never see me give money to a guy on the side of the street just because I didn't know if I was enabling him or not. So I tried to avoid a lot of those things. I just tried to run a good life and treat people and leave this world a better place. And that's what I've been striving for all my life. So I think that part of spirituality and with God, he's going to look into me and say, this is a good man. He was able to bring in children that wasn't his own, take care of men like they were his own.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about your wife and your kids. You have 6 total kids?
I'm working on 7. We have one that looks like we're going to adopt again. So this would be 2 daughters that we adopted back in 07. So we adopted them on Halloween Day, 07. Here it is, almost turn a circle. He's a good kid, so we don't have a problem with it.
How did you break the news? Who did you tell first? How did you tell them? What did you tell them? Because, Billy, we're not just having an interview here. I think you're laying the foundation for a lot of us who will experience.
Who would you tell first?
My wife was in the room.
Yeah.
I tell my son and my daughter together.
We separated it. Mm. We didn't tell them. They found out at a different time. But my wife wasn't able to hide hers. So they found out before I got to do it together, because she wasn't able to control her emotions, because where she was at, she wasn't in the hospital. she had to go back, pick him up, and then they saw that. And they just, what's going on? And she had to tell them.
They didn't know?
They didn't know. They didn't know about the 6 months, the 3 months part. And then when they did, it was just that pain all over again. You want to sit there and be strapped to anything and be branded or stripped by a whip or tortured? That's it. That was torture in its own way. And I had to accept this. And like I said, we go back to spirituality. All good men in life had to go through some suffering. There's not one good person out there that did something worth a damn that didn't suffer. So I knew I had to go through that. So this is for me to go through no matter what. Otherwise, no matter what's in front of us in life, I'm not going to be ready if I don't handle this now. Because in order to move on in life, we have to be able to handle what we have in our first life to be able to grow and accept whatever's going to happen, either if it's to the next level, God level, whatever it may be with our spirituality. I haven't got it figured out why God has created us. And that's for him and us to find out someday. I don't question his will. I just know that it's out there. And I don't have any answers but where we go afterward. So those things do come up. Where are you going? Mom need me that bad? Come on, Mom, it's only been 6 years. So I don't know what's going on. There's another family out there waiting for me. Where we go, you've heard of these Sylvia Browns and all the different possibilities with spirituality. My experiences with the natural itself is something that's hard for me to explain without being called always crazy. I've seen something and experienced something that, and this is, it's an awesome thing to talk about because I was walking out in the forest one day. There was nothing but snow. I look out 300-400 yards away and I see footprints. Let's go look at these footprints. It's the only thing out there. Dead quiet for this area. Be super quiet for the morning. We walk over there and they're big footprints. But they ended. They were walking. Nothing in front of them. I looked in the trees around me. I looked as far as I could see. I looked up in the sky. I'm hunting, but why are you looking up? I was like, did you see the Incredible Hulk one time where he just jumped off into the sky? I have no idea, but these tracks ended here. So then I turn into the hunter and I start looking and I start realizing that he wasn't walking fast because the way his foot and water, snow is the same thing. It's going to splash and you're going to see snow chunks everywhere out front. He was walking, foot was falling off. And inside of that was a smelly musk oil. So putrid, it made him throw up and about made me puke too. And you've heard about these stories that have been dated in walls and caves for 2,000-3,000 years now. And there's always talked about that stench. Here I am smelling this stench, looking at that oil on my hand, looking at this. I was like, where did they begin? And they started just like they ended, out of nowhere. There's nothing in front of them. There's nothing behind them. That's an experience that it takes you places that you can't even imagine. How did this person do this? I was up all night, 500 yards away in camp because my sleeping bag was wet. I didn't get to sleep that night. I'm not sleep deprived. I'm not seeing things. It's not been that long. I know who I'm with. We didn't have cell phone cameras back then. Wish I did. But the story is, I seen it. It's real to me. And it has more questions than it does answers. It just left me asking, is he from this dimension? Is he from outer space? How did this happen? And there's so much more unknown that we don't know about life.
You've learned a lot from hunting throughout your life?
Nature is a very powerful thing. I mean, it's helped me even with my businesses and being able to recognize stuff. Watching the river as the river has the backflow, and you recognize hydrodynamics at its best form. And how it affects your window tinting because you're using water and how it's flowing. And when you're running down the side, how it's going to swirl down on a micro level and bring dirt out because it's actually doing the same thing as what you're doing on the side of the river, just on a smaller scale. So I was able to apply a lot of that. Nature is absolutely probably the best teacher we can have.
Your sons, how many sons of the seven do you have?
Just one of my own.
Those lessons, though, that you're teaching him through hunting?
Trying as much as possible, yeah.
Can you share some of those with the listeners?
Yeah. Walk in, you leave it cleaner than you found it. Leave only footprints. Teaching them the that we are part of this world and that this system is so much dependent on both of us. And if we don't live with each other, then we'll lose one another because we're just as much a part of the planet as the fly, the grossest thing in the world, to the prettiest thing in these birds flying in the sky. Without all of them existing, we wouldn't exist. You take the bees away, we die. One little thing out there takes us all away. We can't afford to lose the bees. They got their job, and we all have our job. And are our secure takers of the earth? I don't know what our jobs is as humans, but we're separated by the rest of them because we can speak and write and retain stuff and teach, pass it on. Or other things that have to be completely shown over and patternized. But even in then, you find out in nature that it'll get way too weird deep if we go there when it comes to nature and culture because it real almost gets political.
What's the greatest hunt you've ever had in your life?
Was my failure. It was the failure one, last one. And I don't think I would have enjoyed it if I knew I was sick. I got drawn for antelope. It was the first time I've ever been drawn for it. 30 years it took to get drawn here in Arizona. I could have paid $250 and went to Montana in any time. But Arizona is my state, my home, like Hawaii is to you. And it always will be. There's probably a calling that you probably have that when you're at home, you probably feel at home when you're there. You probably never truly feel at home, even though you live here, your family's here.
I've made Arizona more of my home now than California. Mentally and emotionally, I've been able to make it real now because I do spend a lot of time outdoors in nature and I love our mountains and our hills and our hikes. But yeah, there's a few places in the world, Maui being one of them, Palm Springs, and now, you know, McDowell Mountain is home. I can definitely feel that energy of nature.
Yeah, you feel like you belong.
Yeah.
Not out of place.
You've been celebrated these last couple weeks since the news broke out to your community and in the tinting industry and window tinting for over 40 years. What has that meant to you? Just knowing that recognition is there and being able to see it while you are here.
Started off as a dumb kid just wanting to try to help his mom. Mom was affixed to the bottle at the time, and my stepdad, a good dad, couldn't put up with it no more. So the family life was falling apart real fast. But I was taught, you ain't in school, you work. I went to work, and then as soon as school came back, I even realized that my mom was going to move, and I was going to have to move back into somewhere I didn't want to go. And that was with my stepfather, because during this heyday of not knowing what to do during this, I stole this truck and wrecked it. And I just didn't have...
How old were you?
15. And I didn't have the man in me yet to face him. So when she said she was moving back with him, I was like, I don't think I can. So she says, you're making enough money, you can do this on your own. You move out on your own, son, you can do this. So she encouraged me to take it, and I got my own apartment at 16 years old and started living on my own at 16. So that kind of took part-time off the scale and put full-time more important, so I had to drop out of high school. I regret that a little bit, but I did have my high school friends. They showed up still, the main group that I used to hang out with. They were there at their Living Memorial.
Yeah, where did the concept of the Living Memorial come from? And
my wife.
Yeah.
Sounded morbid at first. I was like, hold on, I'm supposed to listen to people talk about me. It's like, she goes, yes, it'd be wonderful for you. You need to hear these things. I said, nobody ever gets to hear these things when they're at their funeral laying in a casket, you know? We might like to think they might be sitting in the room with us listening to us, but we don't really know. But when you're there in front of them, they're gonna know you're hearing their stories. And so I agree. And there was supposed to be a roast. They were supposed to roast me. Not one person roasted me.
Oh, man.
Except for my brother. My shirt climbed up, and he goes, your belly button's showing. Oh, in front of everybody, walked off. Like, everybody laughed, so. One person made fun of the butt crack, which, who hasn't at CrossFit not seen my butt crack? Just couldn't keep those pants up to save my life. Especially
yeah.
As soon as I went like that.
Hey, you were doing handstand pushups, power clean, snatches, man. You were doing all the big moves. So
yeah, I started out with the rubber bands and three stacks of. Pretty soon, you're touching the ground. It's like that was so cool when I touched.
How did you find us? That's a curious question.
We were on Sing, and you offered.
There you go. We were part of a networking morning. Allison Knox. That's right. We met there.
You same came, dude. You keep doing that. Be my poster child for a while.
Yeah.
You won't have to pay anything. Just come in, knock it out. And I don't know if anyone knew that I was free.
You lost a lot of weight too, right?
100 pounds. And then the whole life challenge came up. And I still think that guy that took first on the points cheated.
He cheated.
I still think he cheated. Didn't make no sense at all. So I'm claiming first place in that all day long.
We got to get you an award, man. You won the whole life challenge.
It was so hard. I couldn't even use maple syrup on that thing, man. I was like, what? But the challenges that were in it, sometimes just the whole life, grabbing people's groceries and stuff, get you beat up. No, I'm kidding. But doing stuff for people, I love that concept because it helps you. You walked away and you're smiling for the day, feeling better about yourself because you did something small for something, but they didn't realize you're just doing it to win. So it's like,
it's
a double-edged sword. What did I really do it for? But I did my.
You've always had a sense of humor. Where does that come from?
That's my shell. That is my protective armor. That's how I deal with the heinous things in life, the stuff that we don't want to see, the stuff that we know that's out there every day that we don't want to talk about. So when it does get brought up, sometimes I'll say something so off the wall that you don't even know what we were talking about. And it's like, where did that come from? Yeah, we're not talking about that anymore. You know what I mean? You totally forgot what you were talking about.
Yeah.
And it just helps me get past those painful moments. And I think laughter is supposed to be help you cure anything. So I've been trying to laugh as much as possible.
Yeah. Is that why you wore that jacket today?
This right here? No, my wife pulled it out.
Hey, but I'm dumb. Hey, okay.
This happened to be
you got jokes now. All right.
Yeah, she's got that thing on. She's funny.
I won't make fun of the butt crack, but the jacket was, that was an easy one.
Yeah.
Let's talk about these next days. And as an optimist and a realist, but also as somebody who believes that you can do as much as possible to extend life and not just someone who has been diagnosed with terminal cancer, but extend everyone's life and doing some things to enhance that. Obviously, you're doing these therapies. We talked a little bit about fasting the other day and even getting you in some cold water just to see if we can't shock the body and the system. Those protocols, that biohacking, going and seeing Jorge, I do want to talk to you about that. And again, helping support you to do some of these things in these next coming weeks. Have you started to plan anything out knowing that you're 30 days into a 90-day sentence?
Just started to. It was a relief the memorial was open because we had to plan for that, make sure we had things. And my wife was trying to take it all on her own, and it was a big task. So I was involved too, getting things lined up for selling my business, getting your last will and testament and your papers in order. Those have all been coming up first, and making sure, like, just getting her to know all the passwords on all my dang credit cards so she can shut them down when they're right. Showing her where the books really are, because she doesn't know how I've been running the books. She just sits there and uses her card, and life's good for her. That's how we're supposed to make it for it wise, right? But now she needs to start understanding the books and how what's due when the band's due, how it's paid, where it gets paid from. She didn't even know where that was at. It's actually in our bank account because we use our same bank to get our loan from. So it's real easy right there and do it right here. She goes, okay. So getting all that, what we did for the past 3 hours before I came here. So some of those things have to be knocked out before we can get to that eventual planning. I just want to start some of the things I've been personally doing now that I've been getting rest, which seems like, I don't know if it's immunotherapies, but I'm finally getting hours of sleep in. And that's allowing me to focus, because without it, I had no focus. And I can start working on my breathing, because I don't think that's not going to hurt me at all if I actually start focusing on real breathing, deep breaths, you know what I'm talking about, more meditation, trying to get more into the meditative state, start letting my body start getting more in touch with it. Because I have tried that before and I have felt the uncomfortable burning inside of me. And I would love to find a medium that help can get me past that to where it just doesn't feel like my body's going to explode. Because it really does feel like something's going to explode when I try to get into that deep meditation. So I know I'm getting close because it gets warm and everything like they say. I think I can tap into that. I think I can start controlling my body more because the mind's in control. It controls everything chemically and everything. So I think mental fortitude is what I need to work on the most because chemically and everything like that, there's not going to offer me anything that I can see that makes me jump, start getting into the nutrition, trying to live healthy as possible for the body to give it as much time as possible. As far as fighting a chance and looking for that chance, I don't think I'm going for that. I'm just looking for that quality. They explained to me real seriously about this lung cancer and other areas it's going to spread into. This isn't going to be fun when it starts getting towards the end. And I'll know when it's going to get close. Mm. I'll be feeling it. I'm already on morphine right now as we speak. And that keeps the pain under control. I have Oxycontin too. If I start moving around, doing stupid shit like picking up ice, getting ready for events. Yeah, I have some of that too. I haven't had it for a couple of days now. So normally day-to-day activity, I don't have to do anything extra for pain. Those I take as good days. When I'm not feeling any pain at all, no gas in there, I'm taking those as better days. If I'm getting those more and more, I'm gonna start taking those as this and the treatment's working. And anything you can get as well as you know, the biggest thing in CrossFit wasn't just a matter of doing it and showing up and quit. It was waiting for that success. When you see that success, then they start really driving. That's when you see them kick on. It's all of a sudden that gear hits, they shift gears and they go, look at him go. He's seeing his success now. He's seeing it go together, all of it come to play, and he's seeing the results. And without the results, I would have quit. There's no way I would have went through all that stuff. But I was seeing the results. And plus, you said I had to go to everything. I went to SEAL and went to the middle of the winter.
SEAL Fit. That's
yes, right. That water was cold.
That's right.
It was really warm out after we got done, though. Did you notice that?
Couple questions I'll fire at you here. Definitely lighthearted. What do you want to see? What do you want to do? What do you want to eat? I believe we can... I want to see you live longer than 60 more days. And everybody listening to this, and I know everybody who knows you wants to see that too. With that being said, is it an In-N-Out triple stack?
No, don't even see any of that.
It's nothing. Like
The only thing that actually calls my name for garbage is Taco Bell, and I don't understand it at all. Just bean burritos. It's like the only thing that, and those are starting to gross me out. I've ate enough of those to the point where I'm done with everything now. No, I want that arugula. I want some of that. We had a salad with pears and walnuts in it, and a little bit of vinaigrette on it. It was so yummy. And we ordered another, had some feta on top of it. It was just yummy. It was as simple as could be. And I'd like to see my wife start getting more into that, but she looks at me like crazy when I order up a strawberry walnut spinach salad. Do you know how good some of those things are? Except right now you start looking like, oh, look at all that sugar in there. Not so good anymore.
So you're truly disciplined right now in many ways.
Really starting to try to kick back the sugars and stuff like that. You still get those cravings. And it's funny, it's like you go in there and you take two bites. This don't even taste good anymore. So I don't know if there's habit cravings that are coming back once in a while. But even when I go in, I don't even enjoy it. Just doesn't taste good.
What about a memory or a moment that you want to capture in your brain and in your heart? How do you see your family and how do you want to let them know just how much you've cared for them and loved them and what they mean to you?
Encapsulate times and moments. I mean, I was there when that kid come out of that belly. Didn't the other one come out? I adopted a couple kids. It's different when they're your kids coming out. And that bond, that moment, and how you miss your children, and they're not even out of your life. You miss them as three, you're missing that five-year-old, you're missing that seven-year-old, that eight-year-old kid, when he hit it out of the park, I was like, he just hit it out of the park, 8 years old? Sweet. Just watching those moments, those are every single time I do that, they're all encapsulated in my brain and I have photographic memories. I could see his little chunky butt making his little waddling his way around. I remember when he got taken out, wanted to quit. Two more games, son. Two more games. I ask you never to quit because your teammates, you have a position and this is a team. This ain't an ice sport. I said, finish the season for me. I said, and that way you didn't quit. And he finished that season. He didn't quit in his last game. Played like a champ. Coach, where did Hunter come from? It's his last game, I don't know. And he played like all the rest of the kids did. He played hard. It was like, made me proud. And you really put it out there. He goes, yeah, I wanted the last game to be good for you, Dad. For me, this is a kid that's 7 years old sitting there saying those things. When he was out there, said, Dad, a lot of times I didn't want to go hunting, but I did it for you. I was like, those turkey hunts are hard. 2:30 in the morning waking up. I guarantee you, no kid wants to wake up at 2:30 in the morning. Put your clothes on. It's 20 degrees outside. Let's go. But he did it. And those moments, my daughter, watching her do her first back handspring and then eventually taking first in her gymnastics classes just because that's your little you and not going to be beat. You know what I mean? And she didn't get beat by every time. We ended up losing. The gym closed down, so we lost it. And even in dance, she rock and rolled. So everything she's ever done, she's excelled in. Now we got her in club volleyball because she sees her way of getting into college no matter which way she goes. Even if it's a class, a smaller college, she knows that volleyball is a key in to getting with her grade plus levels. So we're making sure that happens because she's not going to get the attention on her team at high school. So we put her where she can be seen. So we're doing it. Cost us a little bit, but that's investing in her future. And it's what she wants to do. So let's do it.
I'm going to steal a page from you here and using humor as a shield. I'm feeling the emotions of this moment. Favorite movie?
Probably American Pie.
We watched it 2 weeks ago. My daughter looked over at me and I was like, just a movie. I don't know what to tell you. Favorite musician, artist, band?
Anything from the 80s.
Okay. Favorite food?
I'd have to say pizza.
Yeah.
Pizza and ice cream. Yeah, the worst things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Favorite sports teams?
Anything Arizona. Okay. You know, I'm a hometown kind of guy, so I'm a Cardinal fan, ASU fan, U of A fan, so I bear down and give it the fork all at the same time. I don't care what color they're wearing. They're up there in the Rose Bowl. I'm supporting them 100%. I got to go to the D-backs series here this year. So it's really cool because my daughter and I got to go see the first game back together. And Zach Gallen was her first time she saw him. It's like, you pitched 14 Ks that night. I was like, I ain't seen that since Randy Johnson. So we had a hell of a night watching it. So it's been a great year with me and her too. So
that's
watching
beautiful.
Her grow.
Yeah. Billy, is there anything else you'd like to share with me, with us, with your family, with your friends, with your legacy?
There was a shirt I used to wear and on the back of it says, show up, don't quit. And that's it. You know what shirt I'm talking about,
yeah.
Right? It said Scottsdale CrossFit on the front of it. And that ain't because I'm at your podcast, I'm saying it. Because it is truth. And that came with my job, how I did that. You show up and you don't quit. You may be having the shittiest time, but that's not for your customer, your child, or somebody else to see. You show up and don't quit. You take that home. You leave home at home, and you leave work at work. And you just, whatever you're doing, you show up and don't quit till the end. And that's what I'm not going to do to my children. I'm never going to quit on them. It's the last lesson I get to teach them is how to be strong to the end and not quit. That's it.
Billy, it's an honor, man, to know you, to be a part of your life, just to get to spend some time with you right here, right now, and see a true warrior do all that he can to hold his dignity, his strength, his honor, and the love he has for his family alive. I thank you, brother. Thank you for being here.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you. I hope this helps somebody.
God bless you and your family. If you got something out of this podcast, we want you to share it with your community, with your friends, with your family. When you feel like you're having a hard day, when you get upset at something small, when you overthink about something and it slows you down, when you yell at your kids, when you have road rage, when you get pissed off or triggered like we all do, take a moment and think about this message and think about what we just heard from Billy. Thank you for being here. Peace. Yeah.